The first reading is from Exodus 16, beginning at the second verse. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at the 17th verse. "Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do? What that we may see and believe in you. What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us, that we would hear your word and would do its work and bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Please be seated. If someone believes that the world is different than it really is, if this person makes decisions based on wrong beliefs about the world, if he refuses to accept the world as it actually is, if he goes on believing his delusions instead of facing reality, how well is he going to function in the world? Probably not very well. Might get by, but certainly won't function the way someone is supposed to. It's only when we acknowledge the world as it truly is that we're able to function properly in it. In our reading from Ephesians chapter 4 today, Paul has a lot to say about our view of reality. Specifically, that without Jesus transforming our minds, we'll end up trying to live in a world that doesn't actually exist. We can't see the world properly and understand and live in it correctly unless we understand it through the mind and through the eyes, through the illumination of Christ himself. And Paul calls this living without knowing the truth of God, he calls it living in the futility of our minds. When we live without submitting to and recognizing the truth of God in Christ, we're stuck in the futility of our minds. But there's good news, as we will see. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, which is page 978 in the black pew Bibles in front of you. Ephesians chapter 4. Two problems that the futility of our minds leads us to, and then some truly good news. Two problems, and then some truly good news. So first, the futility of our minds leads to intellectual darkness. Futility of our minds leads to intellectual darkness. Look at verse 17. Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Paul speaks of those who do not know and do not trust in Jesus, who do not have God's word, the Bible, as living in the futility of their minds, and this leads to intellectual darkness. Paul says that without Jesus, our minds remain in darkness. We cannot think or reason or use our minds properly without submission to an acknowledgement of Jesus. That doesn't mean that non-Christians can't think. That's not what I'm saying. But the point here is that even our ability to use our minds is tragically flawed when we don't know Jesus. We can't function in the world properly because we're trying to work and have our minds work in a world that doesn't actually exist. Without acknowledgement of and submission to Jesus, one's mind is trying to work in a world in a way that's not the world, the way the world actually works. There is a God who reveals himself in Jesus, so when we do not accept or recognize his existence, then we're trying to live in a world without facing the reality of that world. Only in accepting and submitting to Jesus does one's mind actually begin to function in the world as it actually exists, the world where Jesus is Lord and King. As Christians, we are brought out of darkness as we are enlightened by God. But those without the light of Jesus remain in darkness and the futility of their minds. Even our minds cannot be fully fruitful and function in the world properly until we recognize the truth of the world made by God, enlightened by true worship of Jesus. There's a professor at the University of Texas, Austin, named Jay Bujaszewski, and I will give you 5 cool points if you could possibly spell his name. Jay Bujaszewski, who is now a Christian but certainly was not always, wrote an article partially talking about his experience of coming to faith intellectually. Article is called Escape from Nihilism, but it's in large part his coming to faith and explaining how he got there. It's pretty good, so I want to just read a portion of it, use his words, because his words are better than mine, but showing what even a brilliant mind looks like when it refuses to come to God and submit to God. So these are his words. He writes, "I have already said that everything goes wrong without God. This is true even of the good things he's given us, such as our minds. One of the good things I've been given is a stronger than average mind. I don't make that observation to boast. Human beings are given diverse gifts to serve him in diverse ways. The problem is that a strong mind that refuses the call to serve God has its own way of going wrong. When some people flee from God, they rob and kill. When others flee from God, they do a lot of drugs and have a lot of sex. When I fled from God, I didn't do any of those things. My way of fleeing was to get stupid. Though it always comes as a surprise to intellectuals, there are some forms of stupidity that one must be highly intelligent and educated to commit. God keeps them in his arsenal to pull down mulish pride, and I discovered them all. That is how I ended up doing a doctoral dissertation to prove that we make up the difference between good and evil and that we aren't responsible for what we do. I remember now I even taught these things to students. Now that's sin. But it's also agony. You cannot imagine what a person has to do to himself to go on believing such nonsense. St. Paul says that the knowledge of God's law is written on our hearts, and that means that so long as we have minds, we can't not know these things. Well, I was unusually determined not to know them. Therefore, I had to destroy my mind. Visualize a man opening up the access panels of his mind and pulling out all the components that have God's image stamped on them. The problem is, they all have God's image stamped on them, so the man can never stop. No matter how much he pulls out, there's still more to pull. I was that man. Because I pulled out more and more, there was less and less I could think about. But because there was less and less I could think about, I thought I was becoming more and more focused. Because I believed things that filled me with dread, I thought I was smarter and braver than the people who didn't believe them. I thought I saw an emptiness at the heart of the universe that was hidden from their foolish eyes. Of course, I was the fool." See, our minds are created by God, and when we try to think and reason without submission to him, without recognizing who he is, they actually can't work properly, because we're trying to force our minds to work within a world that doesn't exist, a world in which God doesn't exist, which isn't the way the world is. So do you see the sad situation that Paul describes here? People unable to see reality correctly because they live in darkness without the knowledge of God. And so we as Christians need to pray earnestly for those who do not know Jesus. Without Jesus transforming us, our minds remain darkened, not completely as if we can't know anything, but without submitting to Jesus, our minds aren't acknowledging the world as it actually is. And we need God to enlighten us so that we can understand and come out of our darkness. We need God to change us so that we can understand the world properly. And we need to pray earnestly for those who do not yet see as they should, those who try to walk through life without knowing the truth and the reality and the love of Jesus Christ. I'm sure that there are people in your life that you can commit to praying for daily, people whose minds remain darkened and do not see and acknowledge the God who made them and loves them. Paul says that it's only through the work of God can our minds be enlightened. So will we commit to praying daily for those in our lives whose minds remain darkened and who do not know Jesus? Futility of the mind leads to intellectual darkness. And second, futility of the mind leads to active sin. Look at verse 19. Those who live in darkness without Jesus have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And the message of the gospel is that's actually all of us. It's not just them over there. That's all of us without the transforming work of Christ. When one's mind is darkened by the futility of our thinking, active sin follows. When we think wrongly, sin follows. People basically always act in keeping with their thinking. Not suggesting everybody acts rationally, that's not what I mean, but we do tend to act in line with what we're thinking. So, for example, the man who just flies off the handle in anger is usually actually in line with what he's thinking. He's afraid of looking weak. He's concerned that he isn't in control anymore. He thinks the other person is out to get him. He thinks the other person is an idiot or some other reason. And all of these may be completely wrong, but if that's the story he tells himself, then his angry, sinful outburst is actually very much in line with his faulty thinking. When we think wrongly, active sin follows. And in our own way, we all do that. Our actions tend to be very consistent with what we are thinking, even if our thinking is faulty, is wrong. All sin, Paul says in Ephesians 4, is connected to this kind of faulty thinking. Acting in accordance with that wrong thinking leads to sin. And so we need a new mind. We need the mind of Christ. We need his transforming work in us to be able to see the world correctly and act accordingly. Without Jesus, our minds can't work properly. And without a proper view of the world that sees reality through the lens of God himself revealed to us in his word, then we will not see the world correctly or act appropriately. Without Jesus, our mind remains in darkness, and we choose sin. Futility of the mind leads to intellectual darkness, and it leads to active sin. But, good news, we are given a renewed mind in Christ. Look at verse 20. But that is not how you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, which is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says we must no longer think and act like Gentiles do, meaning those who are not a part of God's people. There needs to be a radical difference between our new life in Christ and the lives of those who don't know Christ. These Ephesians were being called to turn away from the faulty thinking of their own culture and to turn to Jesus, being renewed by the Holy Spirit and having their minds transformed by the Holy Spirit. And the same is needed for us. We're called to turn away from the faulty thinking of our own culture, turn to Jesus, being transformed by the Holy Spirit, and having our minds renewed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that in Jesus, we have the mind of Christ. With God's Spirit, even our minds are transformed. They begin to work properly. We can act like Christ as our minds are transformed by God, and we can view reality through the lens of God Himself, revealed in His Son and revealed in His Word. We can be transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and learn to think rightly about the world and act accordingly. See, we're not left in darkness. What fills our minds shapes how we think and how we act. In Christ, we're transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, given a renewed mind, and empowered to live accordingly. That is good news for us. But far too often, even when we are renewed by Christ, we then often choose to fill our minds with the very things that we have been freed from. Christ enlightens our minds, renews our minds, gives us a view of the world as it truly is, and we so often choose to keep filling it with the very things that we've actually been set free from. Sometimes that's purely bad things, like, say, pornography, which just needs to be stopped entirely. Sometimes it's things that aren't bad in themselves, but we give them too much space in our lives to shape our minds and shape our hearts. Think, for example, the way many spend significant amount of time reading and watching the news. Now, do that. That's good. That's a good thing. But if we're honest, do we spend more time and energy on the things of God or watching the news or something similar? We're given a renewed mind in Christ, but so often we continue to shape our minds with the things of this world instead of the things of Christ. This is why at Christ Church we emphasize so strongly reading the Bible and praying on your own at a specific and reserved time each day. You know, if the news always goes on at 6 p.m. or your favorite TV show always comes on at 8 p.m., there's no reason the Bible can't be opened at 6 a.m. or some other time. If you can manage to get your family to soccer at a set time, if it's a priority, we could get our families to devotions as well. We need to read the Bible consistently and intentionally. And we need to pray honestly and regularly. That's why in our recent men's study, but then also our church-wide study this past spring, we emphasized the need to turning to Jesus and Bible reading and prayer throughout the day, you know, at regular intervals throughout the day. That's a hard discipline, stopping and refocusing on Jesus continually. But it's an intentional reshaping and rehabituating of our minds. We're shaped and our desires are being formed away from Jesus by things in our lives all day long. And it takes a concerted effort to retrain our minds and our hearts to follow Jesus, turning to Him and letting His Spirit transform even our minds. And that's hard work, and it takes a concerted effort. William Wilberforce, who led the movement to abolish the slave trade in England in the early 1800s, once noted that people recognize that vigorous resolution, strenuous diligence, and steady perseverance are required for learning, for wealth, and for military excellence. Yet, he says, we expect to be Christians without labor or study. We know that hard work is required to train our lives, train our minds in all sorts of other areas of life. And yet we often neglect the hard work in the area of life that is the most important. This is why we do adult discipleship classes, because we need to learn to think biblically about all sorts of areas in our lives. This is why we do Children's Sunday School and care so much about what children are taught and why we care so much about partnering with parents in training our children how to think biblically and rightly about the world. This is why we don't sleep in on Sunday mornings, because the formation that happens in worship together is too important to skip. This is one of the reasons that I want so badly for all of us to be immersed in the reading and studying of the Bible, because it becomes part of us, and we learn to think through the lens of God's word and not some alternative that we're being trained to all the time. That's part of the reading that reading the Bible over and over again is important, because it becomes so ingrained in us that it enables us to think biblically. One pattern of Bible reading that I've used in recent years is to read the Bible all the way through each year. It takes about 3 chapters a day or so, and you'll read the whole Bible in a year. Some of the greatest Christian thinkers throughout history have read the Bible more like once a quarter, 4 times a year. And their thinking was so influenced and affected by the Bible that their minds were transformed. But whether we read the Bible once a quarter or once a year or at a much slower rate, each one of us needs to read God's word faithfully and regularly and even daily. We need to be consistently immersed in God's word written and shaped and transformed by it. In Christ, our minds are renewed, and we need to be continually shaped by his word. The reality is that our minds won't work properly without the transforming power of Jesus in our lives. The futility of the mind without Jesus leaves people in darkness, able to think, certainly, but unable to see the world correctly as it actually is. The futility of the mind without Jesus leads people to choose sin, behaviors which are in line with our darkened thinking. But Paul makes clear in Ephesians chapter 4, by being joined to Jesus in faith, we are transformed by his Holy Spirit. Our minds are transformed, and we can begin to see the world as it actually is. We begin to understand reality properly because we know the God who made it and loves us, and this God who is active in it. We start down the long road of being taught by Jesus to view the world correctly from his perspective. So learn the Bible. Read with your brain turned on. Study. Work hard to understand. Ask questions and take time to pursue answers. And pray for those whose minds are still darkened because they do not know Jesus. Pray earnestly that the Holy Spirit will break through in their lives and that they will come to know the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. So as it says in verse 22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen.